Yeah, I didn't really question it for too long. And then it was also like at that point, either I was going to go and win the race or I was going to blow up and sort of struggle into the finish. And there was nothing I could really do at that point. It was like, just keep going it, keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully it works.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Most ultra runners who enter a 100-mile trail race have one thing on their mind. That is just to get across the finish line, get your first one done. But my guest today, Adrian McDonald, entered a tough 100-mile trail race, one of the toughest you can find, the Leadville 100. It's tough because it's all at altitude, a lot of elevation loss and a lot of gain. But his first time out, he finished first. He won the thing this year in 2021. I looked him up and said, I'd like to find out about this guy. So here is my conversation with Adrian McDonald. Welcome to the show, Adrian. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, you're the winner this year of the Leadville 100, which I want to get to in a little bit. But before I get to your accomplishments and some of your other running accomplishments, I'd like to ask, how did you get started as a runner?
So I started running as a sophomore in high school, and I played soccer in the fall, and the soccer coach was the indoor track coach. And so it was sort of like expected that unless you were playing basketball or something else, the soccer players would run indoor track.
Well, that's convenient for the coach, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started with that, and I was doing sprints, and then the assistant coach, who ended up being my track coach for most of my high school, he's like, you should try mid-distance running. So towards the end of that season, the indoor season, I started running the 1,000 meter, which is a sort of a weird distance, but that's what they do in Massachusetts. And then that spring, I ended up doing the 800.
Okay. The 800 meter is, so is it 100? Trying to think the layouts of the track. It's been a long time since I've run on a track. Yeah. So as 800 meters is two laps almost.
Yep.
Okay.
Two laps.
Okay. So 1,000 meters would be like 2.5.
Yeah, but we indoors we were running on these, like, they're all like different size tracks, like 160 or 150 meters. So
okay,
I don't even remember how many laps.
you run until you see the tape, right?
Yeah, it was sort of different at every track.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think, a thousand meters is trying to remember my calculations, about a half a mile. Is that about?
Yeah. So. Yeah, a little over
half a mile. Yeah. So is that a distance they run in Europe? I'm not familiar with the track world as much.
The 1,000, it's sort of just like an indoor event.
Okay.
Outdoors, like if someone wants to go after the world record or something. But yeah, it's just sort of a fun event that they do to keep things interesting at indoor track for high schoolers.
Okay. So how were you? Was that it was a team sport, you were on the team, but it was an individual right. effort.
Yeah.
So was that a good distance for you? Did you have good success?
So by the end of my high school, I ended up running, like switching sort of to the mile. I ran 4:40, which was like pretty good. I was really happy when I ran that fast, and I was the last person into the Massachusetts state meet. So it was like pretty good. And then, but it was good enough to like sort of get me really excited about the sport. And I went to a small D3 college and continued running mid-distance there.
Okay. So then when you got out of college, was there like a lag, or did you jump into running road and other events right away?
So in college, I ran 4:12 for the mile. And so my goal right out of college was to break 4:10. And so I was still doing mid-distance for a while, and I was just banged up. And you know, I was like running the 1500 in my mile time, which is 1500s like 100 meters short of the mile. So okay. it was pretty discouraging. So I finally went to physical therapy and decided to like pick out a new event that I hadn't done before. And that's when I switched to marathons. So it was like sort of a whole new world where I could set new PRs and not have like this past self to compare myself to.
And so you ran road marathons, I take it?
Yeah. So that was, I think I ran my first one 4 years out of college in 2014. And I was doing that. That was my main focus until like through 2019, and I was still going to keep going in 2020, but then COVID sort of shut down all the road marathons.
Mm-hmm. And so so what, you decided to switch over to trails? Is that, was that your, because road marathons were all gone, you just said, well, yeah, let's try this trail thing?
Yeah, and like some of the trail races were going, and I don't know, I like racing, and especially during like COVID, there was like nothing really else to do but train. And like that was like sort of the only like social thing you could have too, was running. So I wanted to keep going and keep training. So I'm like, oh, now's the time to jump into trail running and ultra marathons.
And you'd moved to Colorado by then.
Yeah. So I've been in Colorado for 5 years.
Okay. So you were running still roads there in Colorado, or were you running some on trails?
Yeah, mostly roads still. And I'd go out and run on the trails, probably more in the off season. I was always worried about like tripping and falling during a, during a build up for a road marathon.
Yeah. So what was it that led you to decide to, give a try at a trail race? Well, you said the trail race. What led you to, think about, Leadville?
So there are a few things. Like in 2019, I won the Mount Evans Ascent, which is it's a road race, but it starts at 10,000 feet and it goes up to 14,000. Mm-hmm. And I actually did it 2 weeks before a road marathon. And so after that, I'm like, huh, I could be good at a really high altitude race. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. And there are sort of other clues, like I would do a long run and my friends would be like really sore the next day, and I'd be like, huh, I don't feel too bad. So maybe I could handle like going much further. And what else? There was one December I decided to go out and try running a 30 miles, like doing a 30 mile run just to see what it was like. Mm-hmm. Sort of in the off season before I started. I think I was going to train for Boston that winter. And I went out, I didn't really bring any food or water with me. And, which is silly.
Typically road marathon runners, from what I remember, don't usually carry food or water.
You know, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, you bring a few gels, but yeah, hadn't been carrying water. So, I did that. I bonked really hard, but, I still like kept up a good pace the whole time. And, so yeah, so it sort of told me that, huh, you might be able to do ultra marathons and do well at them.
So you completed the 30 miles.
Yeah, I think it ended up being 33. I took a wrong turn somewhere in there.
Well, that just kind of shows you're cut out for running trails, because most trail runners, they get they call that bonus miles when you miss a turn on the trail.
And yeah, it took much longer than I thought it would take too. I don't know. So in Fort Collins, there's Horsetooth Mountain, which is sort of just west of the city. Mm-hmm. And I just ran from downtown Fort Collins to the top of that mountain and back. So okay. Probably like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 feet of gain. So it wasn't like terribly like difficult for elevation gain, but it did take me a bit longer than I thought it would.
Yeah. And there, again, it was just on road, right?
That was sort of a mixture of road and trail.
Road and trail. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what, was that your first time of going over a marathon distance?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was that extra miles like? Did you find any surprises when you got past that point?
I don't think I would have. I wouldn't say I was like surprised. It just sort of it got really hard at the end. Yeah. And like I said, I didn't have water or food with me, so it was like a bit of a grind. I was lucky; it was sort of downhill to the finish, and I was like, I curled up on the floor in my bedroom and felt pretty bad, but. Once I could get myself to eat, I sort of recovered pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's a lot of discussion in, you know, between people who've run marathons and ultra marathon runners and saying, well, it's only, 4.5, 5 more miles than a marathon. It can't be that right. hard. And there is something different in those last 5 miles versus the first 26.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then it's the time. Like, I don't remember if that took me 4.5 hours or something, but that's, I was used to doing maybe the longest I'd go was 3 hours in marathon training. Mm-hmm. And so that extra hour and a half, I think that may be the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And for some marathon people, people who run marathons run fairly slow, but yeah, if you're used to running a marathon fairly quickly, being out for that extra time, wear and tear. So, what was your next step beyond the 30 miles on the road? How did you get into? I know you ran. You have to qualify for Leadville, if I remember right. Is that?
Yeah. So there's the lottery, and then, but I didn't want to do that. And I think it may have even already been full for 2021 because of the everyone that was already entered for 2020 may have just gotten rolled over. Mm-hmm. So I went and did. It was the Austin Rattler. It was a 66K in outside of Austin, Texas last November. Okay. And I finished second there, and that's how I got my entry into Leadville.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure the exact process for getting into Leadville beyond the lottery. So I knew there were some qualifying races that'll let, if you do well, you can get in.
Yeah.
Okay. And then did you do another one besides that? Another trail race besides that one?
Yeah, in March of this year, the end of March, I ran the Antelope Island Buffalo Run 50-miler. That was outside of Salt Lake City, and I won that one.
Okay, okay. So going into Leadville, going from marathon to, you said 50K?
Or 66K.
66K, yeah, 66. That's an odd, distance to 50 miles. What was your like preparation for saying, okay, I'm going to double that distance?
Yeah, it's doubling the distance and then sort of adding that like at least 10 hours onto the time, which mm-hmm. was a little scary. My sort of mindset was to just say like, all right, I'm going to go and run all day. Like I've done other things sort of all day before. Like I've done long backpacking trips and you just wake up, you eat breakfast and you just go walk all day. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like thinking of it as 100 miles is like pretty intimidating. But I think it made it a little more like attainable to just say, all right, I'm just going to go out and run all day and that will get me to the finish line.
Mm-hmm. And then that was this year, 2021, right?
Yeah.
So you started out and tell a little bit about the race for those. I mean, some trail runners may know kind of what the course is like, but what was your strategy going into the race?
Yeah. So the race starts in Leadville, which is a little over 10,000 feet. And it's an out and back. There's a climb that's about, I think you top out at 11,100 feet. It's maybe 18 to 20 miles into the race. And then the biggest climb is up Hope Pass. And you actually go down to the lowest point of the race, which is at 38 miles. And then That's 9,200 feet. And then you climb up to Hope Pass, which is 12,600 feet. And then you right away descend into the turnaround, which is at about 10,000 feet. And then you turn around and do that again. So yeah, the Hope Pass, like the double crossing of Hope Pass is sort of, that's like the big thing that everyone talks about. And that's actually the only part of the course that I had previewed. And I was just sort of looking forward to it. Like, it's really pretty at the top of Hope Pass. And it's sort of, I had been running most of the way until then. So it sort of gave me a chance to sort of hike, like power hike, and sort of change up my rhythm and everything. And my hip flexor was sort of tightening up. And I think that helped loosen that up too. So
the climbing did?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, so you go up and down it twice. What are the descents like? Are those, I mean, I know those of us who are, you know, don't run on the mountains, when we think of descents, usually it's only a few hundred feet, but you're going down for a long time.
Yeah. It can be really fun. I think in the middle of a 100-mile race, it's maybe not as fun as it is like on a training run. So you're just trying to sort of not blow out your quads, and so you want to like use the gravity to help you get down, but you also have to sort of be careful. And then on the second descent, you're also, that's when I pass, since it's out and back, you pass everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was passing the majority of the field. And so you're running down, you're trying not to trip, and you're trying to like avoid the other runners, and they're all cheering for you. So you have to sort of say thank you to them. And, yeah, it's sort of, there's sort of a lot to think about.
So at what point in the race did you realize you were in the lead? I mean, so did you have the lead from the very beginning, or was that?
No, I took the lead right about a 50-mile turnaround.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was sort of, I had this sort of like rush of emotions when I did it, like, wow, I'm leading this like huge race. And then I was sort of worried that I had gone out too hard, and I had seen, like right before I took the lead, I saw some of the trailing runners who were approaching, and a lot of them looked really fresh, and they were sort of some big names in ultra running. So I'm like, oh no, like I have these guys on my tail, and they're really experienced and know what they're doing. Hopefully I didn't screw this up.
So what, I mean, you say, hopefully I didn't screw this up. What then, I mean, that's not necessarily a real positive thing. When was it you decided, or when was it you kind of said, you know, I'm going to keep on going? Cause I mean, that could have been, oh, I've gone out too fast. And a lot of us, when we say that to ourselves, then we start slowing down, we start doubting ourselves. Yeah. So what were you telling yourself to, at that
I think
point?
It was just that I was like still feeling really good. And, I just had so much confidence in my training too, that, I didn't really question it for too long. And then it was also like, at that point, either I was going to go and win the race, or I was going to blow up and, sort of struggle into the finish. And there was nothing I could really do at that point. It was like, just keep going, at keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully it works.
Mm-hmm. So were there any challenges? I mean, I saw your finish time, but I mean, what, you know, did you have people pushing? Were they actually pushing you? Could you see them coming behind you, or was it just a mental thing of knowing that these strong runners were behind you?
Maybe at the top of Hope Pass, I looked down behind me and I think I saw one of them coming up. But after that, you would just sort of get updates at the checkpoint or the aid stations along the way and sort of find out how big my gap was. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. So that sort of gave me more confidence too.
Wow. Yeah. And so what was your final time? What was your...
It was 16 hours, 18 minutes.
16 hours, 18 minutes, which is, that's a pretty good time for that kind of elevation in 100 miles.
Yeah. I think it's the fifth fastest in the race history. And my goal going in was 17 hours. So it was even faster than I thought I'd go.
That's good. So, yeah. Did you have a crew that was helping you along?
Yep. And you could have pacers from mile, was about mile 60 to the end.
Okay. Did you have someone helping you with pace?
Yeah. Okay. So I had three different pacers for those last 40 miles.
And so you finished in the night. You didn't have to run through the night.
I finished. If I had gone 10 minutes longer, I would have been in the dark.
You would have been in the dark. Okay. Okay. It was the middle of summer. So I was thinking of.
Yeah. We started at 4 a.m. So I think just after 8 o'clock. So there was a tiny bit of light left.
Wow. Yeah. That's, so what is your kind of, after having done this, what's your plans going forward?
I'm still trying to sort of figure it out. The sort of two things that get me most excited are trying to win Leadville again next summer or Western States. And so those are sort of my next two goals, I think.
Okay.
So only do one of those two next year, I think.
Okay. Western States, Leadville is a qualifier. Do you get, if you win, is that the same kind of thing as getting into Western States assured, or do you have to go through the lottery?
I may have to go through the lottery. There are qualifying races for Western States, so I might try and do one of those.
Okay. Leadville isn't a qualifying race?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, they have their own races that you have to run to qualify.
Yes, I knew that that there are certain races that you have to do, and so you'll have to run you'll have to run another 100 to get into Western States.
Or there's the one I'm looking at is Black Canyon 100K, which is in Arizona in February.
Okay. Okay.
So that's one I might do, and they have some other. There's a 100K in Texas.
Bandera, yes.
Yeah, Bandera. So that's another option.
Okay. Yeah. I'm signed up for Bandera this year. So.
Oh, cool. The 100K?
The 100K. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not trying to qualify for Western States. Yeah. I'm a back of the pack runner. So, but yeah, I've heard it's a real challenging course. And, Cody Lind, I think won it last year. He was on the podcast a while back.
Okay.
So, it's a good race. So.
Yeah.
So, and you, I think, are you still thinking about Boston, the Boston Marathon at some point?
Yeah. So my goal has always been to finish top 50 at the Boston Marathon. And I ran it three times and my best finish was 53rd. So there's some unfinished business there, but, I don't know when I'll do that. I'm sort of excited about these ultra marathons and trail runs now. So that may be a few years down the road.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever expect that you would get to that the 100 mile would be a thing that would be your, be in your wheelhouse?
I don't know. Like it sort of happened, and it was never, I hadn't thought about it for too long. Maybe, just like a year or two. I had thought about Comrades Marathon in South Africa. Like that's one that I had always sort of thought I'd do, and that would be the longest I'd ever go.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of happened, I guess, that I ran 100 miles and did very well at it.
Huh. That's great. Yeah. Comrades is one that, and that's on road, if I remember right, is also a road. That is a big event.
I think it's
a national holiday in South Africa.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. It's been going on for a long time, but well, that's great. So, if somebody, hears this and wants to connect with you, what's a good place for them to reach out?
So I'm on Instagram, McDonald Adrian, last name, first name, MAC for McDonald.
Okay.
And then you can find me on Strava too. So yeah, those are the best ways.
Okay. Well, and I'll be looking forward to following you and seeing, like, you know, is this going to be something that will be like a career, or maybe not a career, but something you're going to keep striving to see what you can do in competitive ultra running?
Yeah, definitely. It's the good thing is that it's, I don't know, like you look at the top 10 at Leadville this year, and I was the second youngest. So I'm 33 now, and there are people running really well at 100 milers into their early 40s. So I'm like coming into this new thing, and I feel like I still have a number of years ahead of me to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so many different races out there too. And I don't know if I ever want to try and do longer than 100, but I could try and do a flat and fast 100, or go over to Europe and run something like UTMB that will take a bit longer. But yeah, there's just so mm-hmm. many cool races out there.
Yeah. Were the timed race, not the timed races, or the last man standing, was that something that would be something you'd want to try?
Oh, like the backyard
ultras. Yeah.
I don't know about that. especially you have to go to be competitive. It seems like you have to do it for like 3 days now. Is that what they were doing last?
Yeah. I think the world record was set somewhere in Britain. A couple of guys that did, it was 60 plus hours.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I won't say no, but I sort of like to just get it done in one shot.
Yeah, and that's a whole different mindset of to think about running that long, for that amount of time.
But yeah, who knows? I mean, like I said, there's so many like different opportunities out there, different types of races.
Yeah, yeah, and then the Badwater is another one it's got its own challenges. The Badwater 135, and so.
Yeah, I was listening to your podcast. What was her name? Sally.
Sally McRae. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another, I guess, at Western, if I can do Western states, I could see how I do in the heat. And then if I do well, maybe then I could try something like Badwater. But yeah, that's another classic one.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's even longer distances. The Triple Crown of 200s is going on. I think the Moab 240 is happening to, right, you know, I think maybe this weekend. I can't remember. I know it's coming up. I've seen the race director's got pictures of supplies on Instagram. So
okay, yeah, 240. So, that's really far too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 100 miles has now kind of become the middle distance of ultras, and so so you're kind of going along with your middle distance. I'm glad that you've done well, and look forward to seeing where things go for you, and. May have you back on again if you've done some of the other races.
All right. Yeah, I'd be glad to come and chat again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. I'm glad to have you here. If you are listening closely and paying attention, you may have noticed that I referenced and I cannot remember the man's name, in England, setting the world record for the Backyard Ultra. And since this podcast was recorded, it was recorded before Big's Backyard Ultra, which has now a new record holder, Harvey Lewis, who ran 85 yards, which is, I didn't do the math before I started talking, so it was a long ways. 85 yards means 85 hours. So new world record since this podcast was recorded. Of course, you know, this podcast will live on for years. And maybe if you're hearing this quite a while from the time that it was recorded, we'll have a new world record for the Backyard Ultra. Well, anyway, the website, if you want to get the show notes for this episode or others, the website is ultramindsetpodcast.run. And you can find show notes for this. You can find a web player. You can play past episodes. And you also have a way that you can talk back to me using the comments, questions, and stories. There's a link there that will let you record your comments. So I would love to hear your feedback. And if you have any running stories, I would love to hear a running story. If you would like to share your experiences and record it, and I will any story that I get, I will put on to the end after these kinds of comments. And so it will be an encouragement. You can hear interesting stories if you stay to the very end. If you did enjoy this episode, know somebody who would enjoy it as well, please think about sharing it with them. That is how I help. That is how I get to grow the podcast, find more listeners. If you like what you hear and share it, that is the best compliment you can give me. Remember, an ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. It is about life. And if you're feeling stuck and you want to see what an ultramarathon mindset can do for you, I am a mindset coach. I am certified as a life coach. Would be glad to help you. And send me a DM, and or if you can find me on Instagram, at Eric Dieter, E-R-I-C-D-E-E-T-E-R. And or use the link, ultramindsetpodcast.run. Leave a voice message or text. I would be glad to talk to you and see how I can help you. I offer free 15 minutes triage call, give you some help on an issue that you're dealing with for free. So set up, call me, get in touch with me. I'd be glad to help you. Thanks again for listening. I will see you next time.